Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached America Health Crisis. This is your host, Paulette Young, and we also have Selena Lindsay on the line. Our topic today is diabetes. Where are we at today? All right, Selena, do you want to start first or?
Oh, go right ahead.
Okay, then I'm going to just give, like, the definition and some of the symptoms. What is diabetes? Some people don't know or understand. It's a group of metabolic disorders in which there are high blood sugar levels over a prolonged period of time. The sugar stays in the blood. It's not going into the cells. Some of the symptoms is frequent urination, increased thirst, increased hunger. If it's untreated, can cause complications. And we'll talk about some of those things shortly. You have two different type of diabetes. You have type 1 diabetes. In that one, your blood glucose or blood sugar levels, they can be too high, and that comes from the foods you eat. Insulin is a hormone that helps the glucose get into your cells. So in type 1 diabetes, normally the pancreas is not producing the insulin, and you need the hormone insulin to take the sugars into the cells. Okay, and because no sugar in the cells and it's just sitting in the bloodstream, you're going to get tired. You're not going to have any energy to do the things you want to do. So, and then you have type 2 diabetes. Again, it's all with the insulin. If without insulin, glucose stays in your blood. So that is a problem. So people that have, they can become insulin dependent, meaning they have to take a needle and around the navel area and put some insulin in their system in order to function. And that's an unfortunate thing that happens. You have to change diet. Why? Because if you don't get it under control or it goes undiagnosed, you can damage your eyes, you can damage the kidneys, you can damage the nerves, you can have a heart attack, a stroke, and have to have major open heart surgery, keeping blood sugars not at normal level. So you need that hormone. Insulin. Not everyone has to have insulin. Some just have to take a medication, a pill, or change the diet, or both. All diabetics should change the diet. You don't. If you've got a high sugary diet, fructose, corn syrup, any raw sugar. Some people think you have raw sugar, honey. You think you can have all the fruits you can eat, not a diabetic. And your some of your foods that are high in sugars, like apples, orange juice or oranges, bananas, mangoes, guava. So there's quite a few. Some of the ones that are lower in sugar would be like your strawberries, raspberries, all of your berries, blueberries, blackberries. That's why you see a lot of people switching over to those fruits, because they're lower in sugar. You don't want to have a high sugar diet or a high carbohydrate diet, because if it's too high, that's not good. That's why they encourage you to exercise, because if you exercise, that'll help get the sugar into the blood cells, or into the cells, rather, so that you can function properly. You don't do the right thing, especially with your diet, then you can lose a leg, arm, toes. You can end up with nerve damage in your feet. A lot of diabetics end up with that, and they think it's just because they have diabetes. No. Well, you have to do the right thing in order for the sugar to go into the cells. You have children coming down with diabetes. older adults coming down with diabetes. Anybody can come down with it. And if you have a family history of it, then that's really bad. So what you can do is follow what the doctor says to. Serena, go ahead.
Well, I think in answering the question, where are we today with diabetes?
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like we've gotten worse.
I think so, too. And
they have finally began to get away some of the mist and also to clean it up where they know there's been a problem. When I say clean it up, of course, as you all know, they took the candy machines out of the school. They decided that kids need to have a good diet.
Mm-hmm.
And that the American diet stinks. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done on it when you look at the diet in cafeterias for children as in comparison to, say, Japan or a so-called third world country.
Mm-hmm.
They have a better diet than we have. So in a lot of ways, as I look around and also as you study statistics, statistics tell us that, you know, 7 out of 10 people are not fat. They are obese.
Mm-hmm. Meaning you said
that
how many? You said 7 out of 10?
7 out of 10.
Wow.
You know, and so that means we're improperly eating.
Yes.
And this is attributed to, number one, the portions of food that we eat. As you well know, when you go to a restaurant or you go to a hamburger stand, you know, they ask you what size of the drinks. In the first place, a small drink of soda, which they call a soda, is too much in terms of food. And in terms of calories, whenever you, I don't care whose menu you look on, you're talking 650 to 800 calories.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are eating too much, and we're eating improperly. You talk to the average kid and you say, what is a good diet? I thought I was getting everything. You know, it has bread, it has meat, it has lettuce, you know, so that's a complete meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way these youngsters think. And we're starting to see that we have more people that have never been to war that are minus a foot or a leg or blind in one eye from diabetes.
Right.
You know, it appears that the Wizard of Oz is running around with a saw because of misinformation and people not doing anything about the symptoms, because we emphasize the symptoms. You know, you're swelling, you're thirsty, you're hungry all the time. This is not normal. And I know a lot of people that they know they are diabetic, but guess what they do?
What?
They keep doing what they were doing.
And they're going to get the same result. Okay, so
well,
what I'm going to have you, if you can for me, call that number, 858. Anyone listening and you want to be able to be on the show, call 858-769-4936 and press 1, and you'll be on the air around the world in various countries.
Yeah, they just continue
I need you to call in so that it shows up on the board.
Okay, one moment.
Okay, go ahead. Like Selena was saying, people know that they're diabetic and they keep still doing the things that will cause them to get worse, even though they can understand the disease process. A lot of times, just talking to people in general, they don't seem to know what's going on or why they can't have concentrated grape juice or why they can't have concentrated orange juice. Read the label. It's loaded with sugar. And then they go shoot themselves up with the insulin, so the insulin will take the sugar out of the bloodstream, where you shouldn't have put the sugar in the bloodstream in the first place. Normal blood glucose is anywhere from, they said, some say 85 or they'll say 90 to 105. If you wake up in the morning, you shouldn't have, if your blood sugar is showing over those numbers, then most likely before you went to bed, you already had a lot of sugar in your system. After 2 hours of eating, your blood sugar should be 140 and below in order to keep it normal. If it's higher than that, then that meal that you ate was too much. Can't handle it. And it's a good thing to, you know, after you finish eating, you got to exercise somewhere along the line every day. Just a little walk for 30 minutes or maybe three walks, you know, 20, 10 minutes at a time or something so that you get your exercise, and that's very important. Hi, Selena. I can see you up on the board now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
I can.
All right. Yeah, I don't know why the sound is low. You can hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. You can go ahead and finish where you left off. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yes, as I was saying, it's hilarious that people that understand, they know that they are diabetic, and they continue to do exactly what they were doing. They continue to eat all of the wrong kinds of food. They continue to not exercise. Basically, they continue to load themselves up with sugars in numerous forms, which Paulette has been kind enough to name some of those things. But some of the main items are people are misinformed. Most of the food that you eat, which is fast food or vice versa, anything you can go and eat on the go is loaded with sugar under many, many different names. You know, high fructose, high corn syrup, molasses, various different forms. And then they're fooled by the fact that they think that getting the various different diet sugars are going to sort of fix the problem. They're not understanding that when you use Equal and some of the other ones, those make you want more sugar. You're better off to use a natural sugar such as honey or something to sweeten your drinks. But the key thing is to get away from the sugar, period. What the society has done and manufactures is almost everything. And I do mean everything. I have a friend that thinks his ketchup does not have sugar in it.
Oh, my God, that's the worst one. That's why you'll sit down and search not to put, you know, that type of thing on your fries or whatever you're using it for.
And some people think
that there's a cure. You can get it where you don't need medication anymore, but there is no, technically, all physicians are saying there is no cure, but you can get it under control. You can get it under control and be to the point where you don't have to take insulin anymore. But you would have had to change your lifestyle. Lifestyle, what I mean, is your foods, and you got to exercise. You got to read labels.
Yeah, well, they continue to do the things that they want to do, and they continue to do what the Joneses do. And our children are indoctrinated to crave the sugar. They put it in everything that concerns kids from, and they make these things appear to be nutritional, which they're not. And that's everything from Pop-Tarts to cereal. And some of the main companies that even they say this is a natural oatmeal, but it's dusted with sugar. All of these kinds of things that they target with our children. And some of the main problems we're seeing is that, you know, is period, that obesity is beginning to start when a child is very, very young. They're in preschool, and they're just literally too heavy.
Yeah.
And it comes from them overeating and eating the improper types of food and lack of exercise. When we went to school, it was no such thing as you were not going to exercise. It was a part of the prerequisite.
And you had to have gym.
That's what I'm talking about.
Elementary on, we had gym. There was no choosing or saying that, well, I won't take it the last year of high school. You didn't have those choices, and I'm glad we didn't, because it kept a lot of us that would experience gaining weight later would have been way overweight then. But it's because of all the exercising we were required to do, I think that kept us in tip-top shape. You didn't see that many heavy-set boys or girls in my day, and now it's like common.
Very common.
I wanted to say something about type 2. There's a lot of type 2 diabetes. Your body still, in type 2, can still make the insulin. But as you go on, it may make less and less insulin because you keep putting too much sugar in your body. So if your blood sugar gets too high and stays too high for too long, you run the risk of losing a limb or nerve damage or a heart attack or a stroke. I know someone that had to have emergency open heart surgery and ended up with bad eyesight, the whole bit, all from the diet refusing to change. And a lot of times people overload on the sugarless stuff, but not reading those labels, and it could have things that's loaded with flour, and flour breaks down to sugar, or as we call it, glucose. So that's why it's so important to, you know, read those labels and what's there. And as Selena had already mentioned, you know, you have the fructose, the high corn syrup, or you're eating all those starchy vegetables and say, oh, this is healthy. No, it's not. Now, if you're diabetic, you can't eat all those potatoes. I don't care if it's baked or boiled. That potato breaks down to glucose. So diet
plays. Well, that's another one of the problems. They like those foods. That's mm-hmm. one of the problems with a diabetic is that mm-hmm. all of the foods that they tell them they can't have are foods that they like. And so it's very difficult for them to get away from them.
Yeah. But
they're making a meal out of them.
But if you don't make a change, that's where it gets bad. You shouldn't have your starchy vegetables. That'll be like corn. You have to limit those things. Or things you can have is like mushrooms, onions, garlic, eggplants, peppers. Those things aren't going to bother you. But if you have the ones that are high in sugar, then you're gonna run into problems. And if
I think that's one of the problems that they don't understand the conversion. For instance, I have a friend that he had a great time for Christmas. He went out and he drank himself silly, and he woke up the next morning in the hospital with a patch over his eye.
Wow. And see, another thing with diabetes, it increased the risk of things like with your eyes, such as cataracts and glaucoma. And people don't, all that's related. You can't keep that sugar out of balance. And you wonder, why did I get cataracts? Why did I get glaucoma? You run the risk of getting those things when you're, when the diabetes, especially if it's untreated, or foot damage, nerve damage in the feet, or poor blood flow to the feet. All of these things, if it's left untreated, it can cuts and blisters. You end up with serious infections and things of that nature. So you have to take diabetes serious and get a diagnosis. Maybe you don't know you have it. And if you don't know you have it, you need to be tested. So you can live a long time, but you'll be living a long time keeping things in balance, not out of balance.
Well, more than often through ignorance, they fail to understand the conversion. They don't understand that some of the foods that they crave, the reason you're craving a potato is because it makes the conversion in your body to sugar. And
mm-hmm.
the reason my friend had the patch on his eye is because you're drinking alcohol, and he doesn't understand that's how alcohol is made, from sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And these things cause your pancreas to really act up. And you have some new people that, to me, it's the same thing. They want to say that diabetes is not caused by either item, that it is not caused by sugar or it's not caused by basically the sugar at all. They want to say that it's caused by the cell that's not functioning, but the cell is still inside of the pancreas. So technically to me, when you're talking about type 1 diabetes, it's the same thing. You got a failure of the pancreas.
It's in the insulin. Type 1, it doesn't make any insulin. You can't live with no insulin. I mean, you're going to die. Because without the insulin takes the sugar out of the bloodstream. So if the pancreas fails to make any, as like in a diabetic type 1, then you can die. The other hand, side of the coin, if the person does all the right things, they can live 85, 90-something years old. So they can live a long time with type 1. But in type 1, unlike type 2, the pancreas is not producing insulin at all.
And I think in terms of where are we right now in terms of diabetes, other countries, they are making huge advancements, and that primary thing that makes them more advanced with this particular disease than us is simply diet.
Yeah.
In America, it's starting to be more than 200,000 people a year that are diagnosed as diabetic. It's on a runaway.
Yeah, it is. I don't know where the number is for children, but I know it's high. That's why people like your Emergency Medical Service Authority of California came in to change how the daycares and preschool were feeding the children, being a part of the problem.
The primary problem, and I often discuss that all the time, is the people that want to make money, because they disguise what is good or bad for you in fancy ways to hide the fact that it includes, high caloric content and sugar and various different chemicals. And these things are the things that, thankfully, some new things have come out this year that they're going to force certain restaurants and manufacturers to include what is in food by the tail end of this year, so that disclosures are going to be more upfront than in terms of how they used to be able to do it, because they're very, very good at hiding what is inside of food and all these different foods that people think that they're eating that they think are good for them. And I think you made a reference to your granddaughter and your daughter and what they did to try to put her on a good diet. They literally had to go throw out all the groceries.
Right.
And that's how serious
it is. And even simple things like Cheerios, thought that was okay. But a lot of foods have dyes and preservatives in them. And you got to look at the sugar contents. Technically, we should have at the most 6 teaspoons of sugar a whole day. Men is 37 grams or 9 teaspoons of sugar. That's not a lot of sugar. So reading those labels is very important. I'm talking about for a whole day. One banana has 3 teaspoons of sugar. So you already had to, for a woman, you've already have your maximum amount. So take that banana and split it up 3 ways for the whole day. That's why, and you used to always, having a plant-based diet is a lot better than having, all the carbs and white flour, white sugar, eating all that, the donuts, the cookies. You can take all those things out because you can get something that's more healthy for you.
Yeah, in some ways there is some hope in, say, in terms of eating the banana, because that kind of sugar is actually handled in the body a little differently than, say, white sugar itself.
Wait, which type of sugar? Which one is
the sugar that comes from sugar that comes say out of a fruit as opposed to white white sugar. Yeah. It's handled by the body a little bit.
But if it goes up high, it's gonna stay there. You can't eat all the bananas you want, even though that's a healthier type of sugar. Still, they will. Physicians will encourage you not to do that, and they will encourage you to stay away from the high sugary fruit if you're diabetic.
It is really, really sad business when you see amputees that people could progress into. A real bad extent of what sugar can do to them without any recourse. And it's just a real sad business that, you know, they lose their limbs. It gets that bad. And to the point that, a lot of people are walking around with their feet stinging them, and when this stuff starts, they just think, "Oh, I don't know why my foot is going numb." In fact, one of the fellows that we used to work with, he used to tell a story, which was Jim at our food bank, and he used to tell the story how he had actually stepped on nails and didn't know it was in his foot.
Oh, wow!
Because he had no feeling in his foot whatsoever. From being a diabetic.
There, I don't know if you knew, but there's also type 3 diabetes. And it's been said that because it's been proposed for when they have Alzheimer's disease. And what happens is the insulin in the brain, it's resistant to insulin in the brain. It's why... they call it type 3 diabetes. Because we have a small barrier in our brain in which to get that sugar across. And if it doesn't get across, then you're going to have a problem. To make it simple, the brain is dying if you can't get that sugar across. So it's not going to be necessarily always the amount, but it's just for some reason there's a resistance to insulin in the brain. There's still studies being done. You eat too much sugar and how the sugar that's supposed to go, that's supposed to be used by the brain, the body, if for some reason, when you have too much sugar, it comes out of the brain and goes to the other important organs. I don't know why it doesn't see the brain as important. And they did one study where if you have a dark leafy vegetable and the vitamin C, you try it. You'll see that some spinach and some or orange or say cantaloupe or some strawberries or whatever is better for you than drinking a cup of coffee. That's because that sugar goes across that membrane the way it's supposed to. Yeah, and back to Jim. Jim passed away because he never did change his habits.
He never would. That he was a classic example. Just continue doing what they're doing.
You can't. You have to take your, when you've been diagnosed with any disease, take it serious and learn the steps to what you can do to live with the disease rather than keep doing the things that caused the disease in the first place. Because if it goes too high, too low, either way, it's not good. And two, you have blood sugar at 500, you're getting ready to go into a coma. Maybe you'll make it through, and maybe you won't. I know one thing, you better be in someone's emergency room trying to.
I wonder what I'm telling you about to have the eye patch.
Huh?
Yeah, the fellow I'm telling you about that had the eye patch, he was drinking Jim Beam. And when they took him to the hospital, his blood sugar would not measure. It was over 600, and they didn't understand why he was still conscious.
Yeah, that's a hard one. That part I don't understand either. But something eventually will give if you don't get it down.
Yeah, but he was still conscious, and it was 600 and something.
Wow. That's a tragic.
Yeah, full of liquor. And he lost his eye because they put a patch over it, and the doctor felt his eyesight would come back, but it never came back the way it was.
Oh, wow. Is he still alive?
Yes, he's still alive.
Oh, wow.
But a sad fact, again, you know, they just he just felt that he had a failure to understand what being a diabetic meant. So he goes to the club and just continued to order his drinks like he normally does.
Yeah, you know,
and,
I didn't realize that how being a diabetic or undiagnosed diabetic can cause cataracts and glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
So sugar interferes with all your organs.
And
nobody
sugar
wants
interferes
to
with
eyesight
your...
because they're eating sugar.
Yeah, it interferes with your blood pressure because a lot of people don't realize the reason why they can't control it is the sugar.
Right. Everyone thinks it's the salt. It's not. You can have salt and take out all the sugar and you'll watch your blood pressure come down. There's a whole group of doctors that never believed in the salt theory. They always believed it was the sugar. And I lean towards that, too, because it does make sense. Look what sugar does to so many people. So who wants their eyes damaged? Who wants to lose a limb? Who wants to have a heart attack or stroke? And then as I learned from my daughter, it's better to have regular sugar, like a teaspoon, than to have Splenda cause tumor and cancer. Sweet and low causes cancer of the liver. Equal, you want to not remember things, just drink a lot of Equal. So it interferes with the brain. And then they just put something up on the internet on stevia saying it caused cancer in rats. I knew something was wrong with that stuff. I knew it. But the point is, it's still better to have one of those artificial sweeteners for the ones that ain't going to give up, you know, having a better habit. I mean, it's going to take your life eventually anyway, but at least you'll live a little bit longer, not putting all that sugar in your system. It's like you can't overdo it. You overdo it with those other artificial sweeteners, you're still going to have a problem that will cost your life. So I think it's better to do it in moderation if you can. But then, or you'll just stay on those artificial sweeteners and just know the side effects of them. You'll know what you're doing to yourself. It's better to go natural. Sugar cane is better than the regular sugar. But even that, you can't have but a certain amount. You have over the amount. And no diabetic should ever drink those juices. I mean, never. You're killing yourself. I've seen diabetic after diabetic drink the concentrated grape juice and orange juice and pineapple juice. And if they just read the label, they would see that they can't have that. It's not worth it. You need your eyesight. You need to be able to walk. You need your body parts. And you need your brain.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's just joining us in, this is Paulette Young, your host, along with Selena Lindsay, and we're talking about diabetes. Where are we now? We still have a long ways off. They have made some changes, especially in the children and adults too. It's just I believe people don't know that if you have blood sugars that are high, that's not a good sign. 500 or 200 blood sugar, those are all out of range. You're 85 to 105. That's more in range. But you get all those, even 180, 190. Those are not normal blood sugars, especially if you had nothing to eat and you just woke up in the morning and you're sitting there with a blood sugar at 500. That recipe to get to dial 911 or get to someone's emergency room as quick as possible. You better dial 911 because you're heading for a coma or a heart attack or stroke. Those are way out of range. And you had nothing to eat and it's still that high? Uh-uh. That's a recipe for death.
Exactly.
Okay, we've been talking for a little while, and Selena Lindsay's going to, at this part of the program, we tell you to get a paper, a pencil, or a pen, and she's going to inform you of some great organizations out there that you may know someone that needs that service, or you may need the service yourself. Okay, I'm going to turn the program over to Selena Lindsay now.
Okay. One of the first ones that we're going to talk about is called Camp Corral. Camp Corral is a free summer camp for military children with a priority given to a wounded, disabled, or fallen military family. You can find out about Camp Corral by going to www.corral.org or please feel free to call area code 855-605-1267. The next organization we're going to talk about is called VeteranCareSolutions.org. Veteran Care Solutions is run by LaShonda Jones, and she can be reached at area code 909-329-8288. Primarily what they do there is they see to consulting with veterans, provide housing, and other various different things that are needed by a veteran to be reintegrated into society. The next organization, I just love their name, is called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. This organization is run by Kathy Braxton, and they're located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California. You can go there on every fourth Saturday of every month. They hand out a little food and sometimes other little items when they hand it. What's very, very neat is from time to time they cook hamburgers or hot dogs and they give those out to the homeless. You can reach Kathy Braxton again at Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired at area code 562-313-0041. The next organization is an organization which I myself am a director. It's called Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 Arrow Highway, and primarily what we do there, we're the second largest food bank in Southern California. You can go there on the first and third Wednesday of every month. We do a lot more than food when we have these items. Please feel free if you'd like to volunteer or you'd like to bring something to help us out with trying to be able to feed people because no child or no family should go hungry. Please call Fran Robinson at area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. Again, Sowing Seeds for Life at 1350 Arrow Highway. And you need to talk to somebody over there if you'd like to come and volunteer or help us out. Please call area code 909-293-7735. The next organization we talk about is called Coley's Outreach. And the primary thing that Coley's Outreach does is try to work with people that have been incarcerated. They've kind of gotten a little behind in life and try to help to get them reintegrated back into society. And to do that, one of the purposes of Coley Outreach is to someday own a ranch. So if they also be able to teach a little bit about agriculture and on husbandry and to keep guys on the basics, the straight and narrow. You can reach Keith Coley at area code 909-358-7300. 9-1. At the end of every broadcast, I'd like to make a closing statement. And at this particular time, we're going to do that. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I'm a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work very hard to be. I take risks and I use myself. I tell sly stories and experiences. I share my weaknesses and mistakes. I use me as the guinea pig. My primary belief is to be able to help those that can't help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay. I thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. I look forward that you'll be with us again on our next broadcast, the very next week. Good night to you all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.